passage of scripture that I'm going to read today is from Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 20. I'm reading from the NIV. If you want to follow in your pew Bibles, it's on page 843. In Lystra, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human, like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe.
Thanks, Joyce, for that reading of the scripture. It is, as Donna was talking about summer vacation, we did get a chance to go to our neighbors and have a pig roast, and it was awesome. Our neighbors are Filipino, and apparently that's the national, one of the national dishes that they have is pig roast. And so it was my first time. I'd never been at a pig roast, and it was great. I even got to turn the spit a little bit, and I think it took us about 4 hours or so. And it was fantastic. And I felt like I was, like, I just walked next door, but I felt like I was going to the Philippines. I mean, it was great. The backyard was full of Filipino families, and everyone was celebrating together, and we're cooking up this pig, and it just smelled great. And my favorite time, though, in the whole evening was when Clint and Jody came over with their kids. Their boys came, and of course, as the kids looked at this pig roasting, you know, on this big spit, they had a million questions and comments, and so I wrote down a couple of them. So, how did he die? I can see his tongue sticking out. How come he has a hole in his head? And my favorite was, where is the horse? That was awesome. So, so we decided with our neighbors, I think we're going to do a block party in July, and we're just going to, like, cordon off the whole street, and I don't know if we're going to bring out a cow or something, but we're going to have a big party. And in today's scripture passage about Paul and Barnabas, they come to this new culture, this Greek culture that they've never experienced before. And so we're going to learn why the story of Zeus, Hermes, and the linden tree help Paul and Barnabas to bring the gospel into this pagan culture. And I think there's some really good lessons for us here today. And so I hope that you're just going to put on your missionary hat today. So everybody just kind of do this for a second. Okay, you're just going to be missionaries today. All right, and so we're going to learn a few things about Paul and Barnabas, and hopefully we can put this into practice in our lives. Now, the pastors have been going through a sermon series on the basic beliefs of Christianity, and today we're going to talk about the gospel. So if we could just get the next slide up. Can you read that from the back, or is it too small, print? Ernie, can you see that? Okay, we're going to try to read this together. So if you could just stand with me, we're just going to read this lengthy explanation of the gospel together. So let's try this. The gospel is the good news that the triune God has poured out his grace, unmerited favor, in the life, death, resurrection, and ascension, raising up of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that through his work we might have peace with God. Romans 5:1. Jesus lived in perfect obedience, yet suffered everything sinners deserved, so that sinners would not have to pursue a righteousness, walking in right relationship to God, of their own, relying on their own works, but rather through trust in him as the fulfillment of God's promises, could be justified, be put right, by faith alone, sola fide, in order to become fellow heirs with him. Christ died in the place of sinners, absorbing the wages of sin. Yes, thank you, I missed Romans 6. So that those who entrust themselves to him also die with him to the power, penalty, and eventually practice of sin. Christ was raised the firstborn of a renewed and restored creation, so that those whom the Spirit unites to him in faith are raised up and created a new humanity in him. Ephesians 2:15. Renewed in God's image, they are thereby enabled to live out his life in them, one with Christ and made alive in him, who is the only ground of salvation. Sinners are reconciled, restored in relationship with God, justified, be put right, adopted, chosen, sanctified, made holy, and eventually glorified, ascribed glory, children of the promise. Thanks, you can have a seat. So there's a lot of theological terminology there, and it's a little bit confusing, isn't it? Unless you tracked along. So I just want to offer the big idea. So if we're going to talk about what is the gospel is this: the good news of what God has done in the person of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news of what God has done in the person of Jesus Christ. So turn to your neighbor and tell them what the gospel means now. Just turn to them. The gospel is what? All right, now turn the other way and tell them the same thing. The gospel is what? Okay, so the gospel is this good news of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. It is good news, it isn't bad news, and it's news that we can share with our community, with our friends, with our family, and it's really not as scary as sometimes we think about sharing this good news message of Jesus. So Paul and Barnabas, these apostles, are sent out to travel around the country, and part of their job as missionaries was to learn and to listen to the surrounding cultures. What makes them tick? What? How do they enjoy life together? What do they party about? Those kind of things. And so as they went from town to town, they listened to the community and they understood their stories and their way of life to help them to broach the subject of the good news of what God has done in Jesus Christ. And so they come to this town called Lystra, and this is the first time recorded in Acts where they came to a place that didn't have a Jewish audience. So what was easy for Paul and Barnabas, being Jews, was that when they came to a town, they would go to the synagogue and they could automatically relate to the people they were talking to. But in this case, they came to a totally Gentile or pagan culture, which there was no Jewish audience. So they had to really think through, how are we going to share the gospel with this new culture? Now, this culture was really based on Greek gods. So I had to look, I didn't know all of them, so I had to look up dummies.com and find out this list of Greek and Roman gods. So here's some of them. So Zeus, the god of, anyone know? Thunder, yeah, good, king of the gods. Poseidon in Greek, anyone know? Yeah, god of the sea. Aphrodite, goddess of love, good job. Hades, the underworld. You guys know these really well. You don't have to look up dummies.com like I do. Hermes, the messenger, good job. Here's just a few more. Aphrodite, another goddess of love. Athena, goddess of war, Apollo. Yeah, and god of music and medicine, which is kind of interesting. So anyway, so they come to this culture that's really plagued with Greek and Roman gods. And so they come into this city of Lystra. And before we get to our passage, you need to know this story, because I didn't know this story before. So as the Greek myth goes, Zeus and Hermes were talking one day up in the heavens, and they decide that they're going to go down to Lystra to see how generous the people were and to see how hospitable. So they cloak themselves as pilgrims, and they start wandering through the town, and they start asking people, "Do you have some food for me?" "No?" "All right." "Do you have some food for me?" "No." "Do you have food or lodging for me?" "No." "Do you have any food for me?" "No, no, no," was the message. Until they came to this wonderful couple, Philemon and his wife. And they invited him in for dinner, and so they started to serve the gods dinner. They didn't know they were gods, by the way. And during the course of the evening, as they were filling their cups with wine, they realized that their cups never ran out. And so they invited them, "Will you guys come with me for a second, just up on stage?" So the gods took this elderly couple, and they hiked all the way up to the mountaintop, and they told them, "Don't look back at Lystra. Don't look back. But no, you look back. Don't look back. Don't look back." Okay. So they came all the way up to the top of the mountain. Can you guys make it up here? All right. And then as they turned back, all of Lystra was destroyed by a flood because of their non-hospitality toward the gods. And so the gods said to them, "Well, what two things do you wish for?" And they said, "Well, one of the things is we'd like to be the curators of an ornate temple." And so the gods built this ornate temple on Lystra. And then they said, "We'd like to die together. And so if one of us dies before the other, we'd like to be turned into an oak and a linden tree." And that is the story. So thank you. Let's give them a hand for participating. So Paul and Barnabas came down to Lystra to proclaim the gospel. And it starts this way. In Lystra, there sat a man crippled in his feet who was lame from birth and who had never walked. So you get the picture here. Cripple, had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. So we find out right away that Paul and Barnabas had come into the town and they just started proclaiming the good news of Jesus to these people. And there was probably a few crippled and lame people that couldn't walk, some beggars, some people who had been ill. And Paul recognized that there was one person in the crowd who caught his attention. And if you're up here speaking, you know this. You can see people who are falling asleep and people who, you know, you're engaging with. I'm not saying that you're doing this. I'm just saying this. Okay, so he sees this guy, and he looks right at him, and he says, "Stand up on your feet." And at that, the man jumped up and began to walk. One of the things that I think is really important is Jesus talks about when he sent out the 70 into the communities to go and proclaim the good news of the kingdom, they were always to look for the people who were hospitable, the people who opened up their homes, and we can just call them a person of peace. And the person of peace is always hospitable to you. They always are gracious to you. And oftentimes, they are very warm in terms of you speaking about Jesus with them. So if you can think in your own networks of people that you have, there are certain people in your networks that you have that are hospitable to you. They're open to you talking about Jesus with them. And those are people of peace. And those are the kind of people that that are just open to spiritual conversations. So Paul sees this person, he heals him, and you can imagine what this was like now as this man, went around the town of Lystra, and they'd be like, "Hey, aren't you Bob who, like, we know you. You were crippled from birth. You sat on the sidewalk every day of your life. What happened to you?" You can imagine how this testimony went around the city. So the other thing is many of us are oftentimes maybe afraid to share the good news because we're not sure how we're going to be treated, right? And later on in this story, you're going to see there's always opposition to us sharing the good news of Jesus. But part of this is being gospelly, what we call gospelly fluent. So when my wife and I went to Dominican a couple years ago, I didn't know a trace of Spanish, and I still don't know anything. But we went through Spanish classes every day, and I mean, I didn't know the difference between a bathroom and a watermelon in terms of my speaking, so I just shut up all the time. And I was really embarrassed to go to Spanish classes because most of the people there knew a little Spanish except for me, and so, you know, the instructor would be like, okay, this is the word we learned yesterday, you know, tell us what it means. I'd be like, I have no idea what it means. And many of us are like that in our gospel fluency because we've never had the chance to actually practice sharing the gospel with someone or telling them what the gospel means. And so I wanted to just take us to the book of Corinthians, chapter 15. And Paul talks about this gospel core. And he says, I pass on to you what was of most important, that what had also been passed on to me, that Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said, that he was buried, that he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said, and that he was seen by Peter and then by the 12. So the core of the gospel is that Jesus died for our sins, Jesus was buried, that he rose again, and that he was seen. Okay, so now we're going to learn the heart of the gospel. You're going to turn to your neighbor, and you're going to tell them the four things that are at the core of the gospel. Go, do it. Class? Four things that are of importance. All right, you got it? The four things, what are they? What's number one? Yep, two. Buried, three. And four. Now, the three are really easy for us to talk about, right? But the fourth one is very difficult because unless someone has really seen him in this room, which I don't think you have, the fourth one really just is how do we share what Jesus has done in our life? Because we've never seen Jesus in the flesh. He's ascended and risen. And so how do we talk about that fourth thing? The fourth thing is just how has Jesus made a difference in our life? So those are the four ways that you can just communicate the gospel. So in the story, reading on, when the crowd saw that saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Now you understand a little bit of the context of the story, right? You heard this story. Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. Why did he want to do that? Because they knew the first time they were inhospitable to the gods, as the myth goes, and that they didn't want to be destroyed. So now they're going to celebrate with a big party and maybe a pig roast too, to say, hey, the gods have come down to us. How are we going to be hospitable to them once again? So as missionaries, Paul sees that people are in need, and we need to watch for that person and come alongside them. Secondly, we need to live authentically. Paul and Barnabas, and which I really appreciate, you know, they said, when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes. Now, the tearing of clothes for a Jewish person was to say, this is blasphemy. So this is, we are not God. And so they tore their clothes as a witness to them and just said, hey, we're just people like you. And I think for the most part, in our communities and the networks that we have, people, if they know that you're living a life of integrity and authenticity, then they're going to be open to listening about Jesus, right? Because Jesus has done something different in your life. And that's exactly what Paul and Barnabas did. They lived lives. Paul actually said to the church at Thessalonica, so deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, and the gospel is what? the good news of what God has done for us in the person of Jesus Christ, but also our own selves because you have become dear to us. So the best gospel message is you, as you live out your life in integrity and share the good news of Jesus with your neighbors. So live authentically. And then thirdly, proclaim the gospel in word and deed. So Paul and Barnabas, they tore their clothes. Men, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and filled your hearts with joy. Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. So let's look briefly at Paul and Barnabas' method to reach the people of the linden tree. They lived a life of integrity. They brought the good news. And here's what Paul says. Now, you have to remember this. When Paul talks about the gospel here, he had already been preaching about Jesus. And now he talks about really two things to a pagan culture. He says this: turn from worthless things and believe in a creator God who testifies. This message from Acts chapter 14 is not the same way that Paul preaches in Acts 15 and not the same way that he preaches in 17. So he always changes the message of the gospel to fit with the culture. But the four big pieces that we can remember when we're talking about the gospel is creation. So Genesis chapter 1 to 3. So where did we come from? We came from a God who loves us. And then we talk about the fall. So we have all inherited a sinful nature. And Jesus is the only way out of that sinful nature because Jesus was the sacrifice for us. And then restoration, that God is redeeming all things and that Jesus is coming back. So Paul tweaked and changed that message each time he went to a new community. So even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them because they're like, Zeus and Hermes, we don't want you to go. We want to make sure that you feel loved and cared for. But then it says some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium. You're like, where did these guys come from? Well, this is the same group that started a mob in chapter 14. If you read back, there was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews together with their leaders to mistreat some of them and stone them to death. So this mob that followed Paul and Barnabas all through the countryside finally caught up to them at Lystra, and it says they won the crowd over. So now this crowd that was going to offer thanksgiving and sacrifice to them, the Jews won them over, and it says they stoned Paul, and that's with rocks, just letting you know, they stoned Paul, and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. That guy had some spunk. I mean, if someone was, you know, pelting me with rocks, I don't know if I'd go back into the city again. But Paul was on a mission because he wanted to save people from an eternity without God. So he went back to the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. Now, just a couple of notes here. If you continue reading, it says they preached the good news in that city and won a large number. So this is in Derbe. But they returned to Lystra, strengthening the disciples. And you're like, what? Strengthening the disciples? So that means that in that short time that Paul and Barnabas were there, and they preached the good news to those people, there became followers of Jesus there. And actually, one of those followers, if you read a little later on, was Timothy. So Timothy was one of the people that were sitting in that crowd, listening to Paul and Barnabas, and had come to faith in Jesus. So it says they returned, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Be ready for opposition. When you are going to stand out and proclaim the good news with your life, there is going to be opposition. This is what Jesus tells us. So don't be surprised by that. It's not likely that people are going to pelt you with rocks. You know, they might just, you know, dismiss you, or they might say something about you. But If you get discouraged when you're sharing the gospel with people or your life with people, then just think of Paul. Just think, oh yeah, Paul had it way worse than I do. Okay. So be ready for opposition. So let's just review again the good news of what God has done for us in the person of Jesus. We need to watch for people in need and serve them. We need to live authentically. We need to proclaim the gospel in word and deed, and we need to be ready for opposition. So just a couple of things, just a couple of challenges for us this week. To think through the people in your networks and in your neighborhoods and to ask, am I serving them? Am I watching for a need that they have and that I can serve them in? How willing am I to actually share my story with them, the good news of what Jesus has done in my life? And then be ready for some opposition because there will likely be challenge when you share the good news of Jesus. But this is good news, right? So we're bringing them good news of a God who loves us and who is willing to die on the cross for us to save us from eternal death. And I think it'd be good to remember the story of the linden tree. So how is God working in us and leading us to be ready to share the good news with people who are maybe caught in a myth?